B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
By the way, it's 12 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Time now for the keyword, Junis. Give away some money. We like to do that. And the keyword this hour is shock. S-H-O-C-K, shock. Enter the Fast Cash keyword shock on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting shock to 45911 by 12:15. We'll call you. If you're random selected, you win $500. Everybody that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Get rules for this company-wide contest at 975thefanatic.com. Good luck against Shock, Dr. Shock. There used to be a character, Dr. Shock.
From what?
So when I was a kid, Dr. Shock was like this. He was on Channel 17.
Love Channel 17. Phillies used to play on Channel 17.
Yes, they did. And right around the time when the Phillies played on Channel 17, there was a dude called himself Dr. Shock. And he'd give you the horror movie of the night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was like, you remember Elvira?
No.
Yeah, see, this is like, I'm older.
No.
These two people that would give you the horror movies were Dr. Shock and Elvira. Now, I don't know if they were competing or one came after the other. I kind of vaguely, hazily remember this. So if someone remembers Dr. Shock, let me know. Oh, my God. We got the Monday Five for you. Which
Did he talk at all? There you go.
Do you have it? Is that it? Or that's just good? That's great music right there.
It's just, it's kind of like rats eating stuff.
Did you find Dr. Shock?
Yes. Here we go. Dr. Shock's weekly greetings.
No, you didn't. Dr. Shock!
Good afternoon, my little night falls of fright. And welcome to Mad Theater.
Hello there, you wacky little weirdo. And welcome to another Flash in a Pan episode.
You watched this?
Yes.
And salutations, my Saturday. Saturday
How bad is that?
And welcome to another heartwarming episode of Mad Theater. Greetings, my...
I thought it was a movie, that he would have movies.
I don't think so.
It was a show?
Yeah, it looked like, and he had like little clips of horror stuff. It was like theater. Huh. Dr. Shock, the rope trick.
Wow, that's bad TV back in the day, man.
What was the other thing? The Vampire Show? Is that what we called it?
Yeah, Elvira.
Oh, Elvira, hold on, I gotta find that.
Yeah. She used to do, she was like a goth chick that would introduce movies from back in the day.
I'm sorry that your television as a child was so awful.
Dude, it was horrible, dude. It was horrible. It was bad. It was real bad.
You said sports.
Well, that was the only thing. I mean, what are you going to do?
Some classic movies.
Really?
Yeah, you had like the Ten Commandments.
I didn't have the Ten Commandments. That was well before my time.
You bastard. Had some good movies.
Dr. Shop. All right.
All right, you want these quarterback stats from Shefty?
I do. Dr. Mike, really? Dr. Mike.
You might be a busy man right now.
Dr. Mike, we were waiting for Dr. Mike. Who knows what he's doing? God bless him. The man on the front lines. We have our playback coming up at 12:20. You have to answer the Monday Five we
didn't
get to. So we got lots to do. And we got some open lines if you want to join us. Who's my father? Okay, so my father said there was a weekly show, Dr. Shock. And then he would show a horror movie.
Oh, so then he would show the horror movie. So yeah. he would set up the horror movie. Yeah,
right. Okay. Right. That's what my father said. The doctor shop. All right. What do you got for the quarterbacks?
God. All right. So this is from Adam Schefter and whoever is in the statistic department at ESPN. Quarterbacks drafted in the top five since 1999. 14 of those 28 have a losing record in their careers.
Wait a second. One more time. 14 of 28 since when?
Since 1999. The quarterbacks drafted in the top five since 1999.
Wow.
The 14 of the 28.
Can I take a guess? Do you have the list?
No, I don't. Right. It's just the stats here. And it's for game started, obviously.
14 of 28 have a losing record.
Yes. Right. I'll try to find out who those are. Four have at least a 600 winning percentage. Just four.
600. Wow.
Two. Only two MVP winners. Can you guess those? I do have those in front of me.
Yeah, Peyton?
Nope. No, Peyton was before he was, what, 98?
Oh my God, that's bogus. Did Cam win an MVP?
Yes, he did. And then the same division, the other one.
And in that, Breeze?
No.
Breeze didn't win MVP?
No.
Oh, he was before 99, too.
That's right. Yeah, they went to the trade that's right. with
he was
Eli.
495. So, before. Who am I missing? Ryan?
Yes, Matt Ryan.
So, Ryan. So, there's. Okay. You have four with a 600 win percentage?
Yes, out of those 28.
Do you have that?
No, it does not have it on there.
Well, off the top of my head, since 99. McNabb was in the draft, so that's a plus. He has a winning record.
But is he of 600? I guess he does, obviously, with his run here in Philly.
Well, I'm just trying to, off the top of my head, you have Achilles Smith, was drafted high that year, so he's obviously a negative. You had, who was the dude that was drafted out of Kentucky? He was this Tim Couch. So he's a negative, right? You got Cam as a positive. You got Winston, right?
Yeah, and he's not a positive.
You got Mariota. He's not a positive.
Nope.
He can't be a positive.
I don't think so. No, because they were like 3-7 before they benched him this year.
Dr. Mike's calling my cell phone. Can you talk for a second while I get him?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
So the rest of these stats that I'll give Anthony as well. One Super Bowl champion. Only one Super Bowl champion quarterbacks drafted in the top five since 99. That, of course, was Eli Manning. And then only two have five-plus Pro Bowl selections. I don't really give a damn about Pro Bowl, but it was Phillip Rivers and Donovan McNabb. So pretty bad. The quarterbacks drafted in the top five since 1999. Only half have at least a winning record. At least a winning record. And only four out of those 28 have a winning percentage of at least 600, which is just crazy. Absolutely insane. By the way, we've got the playback coming up.
All right. Yeah, we do have the playback. Dr. Mike's going to call us right now.
Okay.
All right? Because, you know, we're not going to go too long. He was with a patient, and he was all, all gowned up. So, he's a character. God bless him. He keeps that whole thing. These quarterbacks, isn't that interesting? 14 to 28. I mean, that's kind of what it is, right? Andrew Luck. You know, there's those guys that are, you know, can't misses. And, like, I still think Wentz, I was talking to somebody who still loves Wentz, which made me feel good. Over the weekend, NFL guy. Who was I talking to? Here's an NFL guy. He still loved Wentz. So keep an eye. He's going to call us, Junis. Oh, we got him? All right. Without further ado, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, a man on the front lines from the University of Pennsylvania, Fox 29. We love him, Dr. Mike Sirigliano. Dr. Mike!
I was all gowned up. You kept calling me. I thought my I don't know what was happening down there. I was vibrating all over the place. Jesus, God. I'm gowned up. What do you want?
You said to call you at
11:50. I know, but that doesn't mean I can't. This disease,
you know, radio, you know, radio, TV.
Right. So I'm sorry, sir, you're dying, but I have to go talk to the cuz. I'm sorry. Just hold your breath for a minute. Oh, my God.
First of all, thank you.
No, I love it. Listen.
Thank you for being on the front lines. Not about the show. Thank you for being on the front lines.
Well, the last I checked, I was a doctor in real life. You know, I play one.
You're an amazing doctor. And all the doctors and nurses in this area, they are true heroes, and all the people involved in our medical world, what they have gone through. You look up at your brethren in New York. I mean, I almost cried. There was a beautiful, they were playing standing ovation. People were clapping for the doctors as they were getting off their plane, songs. It was beautiful.
Well, you know, it's a war, and we're going to win this war. I got news for you. And those are the kind of people that you want in the trenches fighting the war. You know what I mean?
Yes. Amen.
So we're in this right now. This is kind of a critical time, and we're expecting this week, next week, to be really kind of the most intense period of time right now. If we can get through this, people stay away from each other, socially distance themselves, stay healthy, then we're going to decrease that surge, that high level of patients coming in and overwhelming everybody. And if people do that and they take care of business, then we will get through this, and that will buy us time to get treatments and a vaccine, and we will be able to take care of the people that get sick, because there will be, but we won't get overwhelmed like in New York. And I'm hoping that by people doing that around here, doing their part, that it'll work out. It'll be okay. And that's what it's all about, cuz. That's what it's all about.
Amen. You have any kind of, do you think we'll lack some of the social distancing by the summer?
Hard to say. I think the critical thing right now, cuz, is getting a test that we can do on thousands of people very easily, like a blood test, and they're working on it. And I want to shout out, and everybody knows it's the Sixers, but Jeffrey Lurie and the Eagles have come through in a major, major way, like 1 million reasons why, okay? That guy is a class act. I'm telling you, I've never met, and you know, Ed Snyder was my surrogate father. This guy is the real deal. He cares, and he is going to help fight this war. I'm telling you.
That's beautiful.
So, I mean, that's the bottom line. So, we get a test, and then we come up with treatments, and that includes looking at plasma, that's blood from people that got sick, that survived, that did all right, and we give that to the people that are very, very sick and get them through it. If we can get that to that point, we find out what drugs work, what don't, what drugs don't work, like hydroxychloroquine. I'm so sick of that drug. Either it works or it doesn't work. Like, let's deal with it. Let's figure it out and get going. And then we go from there. And that'll buy us time to get a vaccine. And I'm telling you right now, cuz, I don't know, did you always get your flu shot when you came to see me? Because if you didn't, I'm going to kick your butt. From that, anybody doesn't want their shots, I'm telling you, after all of this, they're going to get the coronavirus shot. I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, you would force it upon me.
Well, because
I did it on the air with you one time.
It's the best. That's right. That's right. I remember that. And Baldy, too. I think I got him.
You got Baldy as well, yeah.
Yeah, I got them all.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that is the best defense, so that we don't have things like this happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right on. So you came something interesting. You came across something interesting. And I saw it with a story about a tiger that tested positive for coronavirus, and you had let something slip about cats that you wanted to talk about.
Well, the bottom line is that it's a little bit concerning to me. Again, I have a cat. It came with the wife. All right. I don't want hate mail from cat people. It's okay. I like the cat. All right. It's okay. But I mean, the thing is that they have these ACE2 receptors, we think. These are the little receptors on cells that allow the coronavirus entry into the cell. It turns out that cats have the same kind of thing in their noses like we do. All right. And the first documented case of a domestic cat was in Belgium. And now up in New York, you're seeing the Bronx Zoo? I forget where the tigers are.
Yeah, Bronx Zoo.
The tigers, they have it. So that brings up a bunch of questions, and I don't have the answers for that in terms of, well, now if you have a cat that has it, can the cat sneeze? Can the cat put the virus on stuff around the house? You know, like that's the kind of thing that is keeping me up at night, things like that. Because this whole thing started, we think, where this coronavirus was in the animal population, bats, we think, and then it got transferred to anteaters, pangolins, and the many experts feel that this all started in Wuhan at a market where they sell all kinds of stuff, and you can buy and eat pangolins. Now, I've never tasted an anteater, and I don't really want to. But the bottom line is that's where we think this all started. It got into the human population, and then it spread from one human to another, and that's how a pandemic starts.
Yeah.
So we have to look into this.
Or it was man-made, which I don't think we could.
Well, there was a very nice article in I think it was the journal Nature or Science, and basically they looked at this and they did not feel that this was a bioterrorism virus. Now, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at it. Maybe it escaped from somewhere, but I think pandemics occur in natural settings. And if you look at the history, you know what you ought to do is read about the 1918 pandemic, especially in Philadelphia, and how we ignored social distancing. We had a parade because it was near the end of World War I. And you know what? Killed millions of people. And so
what's funny? I read something interesting, not fun, that I read something about, and it was scary as all get out, that they used Washington Square Park as a mass grave.
Well, they were falling out on the streets, you know, back then. They didn't have ventilators. They didn't have all of the modern technology that we have now. You know, all you hear about are ventilators. The reason for that is this virus attacks the lungs, and it leads to something called a cytokine storm. That's where not only does the virus give you the symptoms of a virus, but your immune system in many people over responds, leading to damage to the lungs, and you really need to be on a ventilator to survive. And back in 1918, they didn't have anything. And so now, we can save more lives, but the social distancing is still critical. And back in 1918, St. Louis and Philly were told by the Surgeon General back then, Dr. Rupert Blue. And Dr. Rupert Blue said, hey, this is bad. Philly went ahead and had a big parade to raise money for war bonds for the World War I effort. And St. Louis shut everything down. And we got creamed. We got decimated because we had a big party. I mean, a big parade, and it just spread like wildfire. So if there's a take-home message, and history often repeats itself, this is the time everybody needs to stay home.
Yeah.
Stay away. Don't go out. Don't let your guard down. Don't do it. Now is not the time.
Yeah, and you can see from other countries that we are getting some good news, right, about the cases dwindling in other countries?
Well, if you look at it, I think people are getting the message. Yeah. And I think that you're starting to see, I'm hopeful, a reduction in cases in Italy. And even in New York. Now, it's too early to tell. But for the last couple of days, there seems to be a little bit of a downward trend. Wouldn't that be absolutely fantastic? Wouldn't that be great? And you know what? As much as I'm a Flyers fan, I got to tell you, I was root like I'm all New York right now. You know, they're fighting the fight, and Mayor and Governor Cuomo. He was taught it's the way we do things, and that's the way we do things here in Philly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of
It's all about.
Well,
being
we're
a
all
team.
The same team now, man.
We're all on the same team, and we all have to fight this, and we have our ways to fight it. Each and every one of us.
Yeah, I'm hoping that get past these next couple of weeks and it's not as scary as it could be. And, who knows, maybe we get a semblance of normalcy in the summer or by the summer.
Well, I keep saying I think this is going to make us better. And I'll tell you why. Because once we get hit down there, we're not going to let this happen again. We will be better prepared the next time. Yeah. We will get through this. We will be a kinder, gentler group of people to each other. You can already see it. I don't know whether it's just people are being nice. I have a sticker on the back of my car that says I'm a healthcare provider, and they stay 10 feet away from me. Before, they used to drive right up into my back seat, right? And now, I don't know whether they think I'm spreading the virus or what, but like they stay away from me. And maybe it's just that people are a little more kind and gentle and saying, like, look, we're all in this fight together. We're all going to get through this. And that's my hope. My hope is that we're all going to have a little more, Mr. Rogers in us. And we're going to just kind of be kinder and gentler. And we will learn from this. And we will deal with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel. Amen, brother. Listen, thank you. Thank you for being a hero and being one of those guys on the front lines, and especially in our area, leading the charge. So,
Listen, I'll be the first. I'm not intubating. I'm not putting breathing tubes in people, spewing out virus. I'm not doing that. I'm doing outpatient stuff. I may get called in, but the bottom line is the real heroes are those ICU people, the nurses, the doctors, the anesthesiologists, the nurse anesthetists, all of them. They are putting their face right there. And those are the heroes. Those are the ones that walk home and could infect their families. They have nothing but, I kiss their feet, let me tell you.
Yeah, okay? Amen, brother. That's
make that clear.
Man.
Make it clear.
Amen.
All right?
Thank you. We appreciate it, Doc.
I love you, cuz. I love you, man.
Right.
I'll hug you later on. Not now. I ain't getting near you. Love you, cuz.
Love you,
man.
Take it easy. He's the greatest. Dr. Mike. I love it. I'll hug you, but not now. He's the greatest, Junis. He is one of our great people of the Delaware Valley. Dr. Mike Strigliano from the University of Pennsylvania. And, of course, you see him on Fox 29 as well. We'll come back and our playback. We're not going way back today. It's Sixers Rockets, and it's the Embiid dominant game, but there was a guy who became a cult hero just for a moment on a 10-day contract. You'll remember him. That's next, Cuz Radio with Junis, 97.5.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. It's Cuz Radio with Junis. Everybody sit tight. There are a lot of people online. We're going to get to you guys coming up shortly. But let's time for our daily playback. We go back not too long ago. On Friday, we went back to the NFC Championship game, which felt like another lifetime. But today, we go back barely over a year. January 21st, 2019. It was a Monday night. Sixers, Rockets. Tom McGinnis on the call right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. There are a lot of moments from this game, and it came from a very different source. Not Ben Simmons, not just Joel Embiid, but how about Corey Brewer, who had just signed a 10-day contract. It was his first game, and all of a sudden he's starting lineup that night against the Rockets, and he got called on to start the scoring early.
Ben Simmons, Sixers with numbers. Simmons weaving, goes down to Corey Brewer, and a layup. Ben Simmons wheeling and dealing and getting to the foul line and delivering down low right to Brewer. Brewer driving on Harden, spins around him and puts it up in. Take that, bearded one. Nice play by Corey Brewer, and the Sixers lead by two.
Take that, bearded one.
I miss him.
Yeah, I miss Tom McGinnis. Yeah. Do you miss these two guys? Well, at least the one guy. Because these guys scored early, too. How about Jonah Bolden?
Don't miss him at all.
And T.J. McConnell.
Ben with it against Tucker. Baseline cut by T.J. And McConnell puts it up and in. You got to respect T.J. McConnell. He presses up on Harden. Harden bangs it. Bolden, Jonah blocks him again. And James Harden denied from down under. Here comes Wilson Chandler, back screen by Ben, layup by Chandler, he cracked James in his good hard screen, like back in the day, a head-hunting screen, he got him.
That was awesome. He cracked James in his head-hunting screen, like back in the day. That's pretty good.
James Ennis of the Houston Rockets at that point. They traded the second-round pick for him.
All right, how about this guy? He came here for a brief moment, was part of the future. A gem on earth by the Sixers, who could shoot from the outside out of Wichita State. A shocker! Landry Shamet.
In the lane, Ben, jump hook, no good. Bolden keeps alive. Jonah Bolden with a rebound. Back out top, Shamet fakes. Around one man, shoots out top. Three ball, line, drive, triple by the Rook is good. Landry Shamet, shocker.
About that, Shamet.
How perfect would he have been for this
Shamet.
Team?
Yeah.
Now you don't get the bias, but how perfect would he be for this team?
Yeah. Or would you have gotten Tobias too? Huh? Interesting. Of course, you might have to read that in a year from now. Of course, the story behind that trade. The Houston Rockets did have James Harden, who got hot early. I was keeping him in the game. The beard had 12 in the first quarter.
Jump hook off the glass. Too strong. Rebound to Nay. Ooh, he tangles with it to beat. Joel goes down. To Nay jumps over him. Outlets it to Harden. Harden on a drive into the lane. Gets free and lays it up. Got by Ben Simmons. Brewer was there. Harden turns on the Jets and puts it in. Here's Harden on a drive. Harden bangs into TJ. Blocked by Jonah Bolden. Harden gets it back. Puts it up and in. Harden 1-1 with Furkan. Step back three ball by Harden is good. All net. Oh, he starts talking to the crowd a little bit. James Harden with a dozen already.
I hate the beard. Hate him, Jonas.
I can't imagine. Guarded by Furkan. Ugh, Korkmaz on Harden. What kind of matchup is that?
I know. You know what, though? The big man started to flex. And he also has 12 in the first quarter. Including this bucket right here.
Sixers ball up by two. 1 minute to go in the opening quarter. They feed Joel. Deep post up. Goes in up on Ennis. And he makes it. Goes right over James Ennis. They got to get Nene back in the game. And Joel Embiid now with 12 points. And I believe he has six in a row for the Sixers. It's 28-24.
Yeah. They play great defense at night. Tenacious defense. The type of defense that we wanted to see this season. The type of bully ball against the Rockets. And Jonah Bully Bolden. Listen here.
James Harden leaning over the right-hand dribble, crosses him over into the lane, tries to draw the foul, does not, and then missed the shot. Got it back. He's blocked by Bolden for the third time. Ben Simmons into the lane, right by Gordon, layup good, and Ben Simmons runs right over the Rockets. Oh, man, what a play by Simmons.
What a play by Ben. But it started with the third block from Bolden. Another run out for the Sixers. This time, it's Embiid with the great defense. Outlet to Simmons and to this man, who I think Brett Brown misses the most.
And Joel with a long down court feed to Ben. Over to J.J. Three in the air. It's up and good. J.J. Redick rocks the house. A Sixers for three. Timeout Rockets. Wow, what a streak by Redick. And B with a touchdown pass. And now J.J. Redick in the crowd firing up. The Sixers by 17.
I hate him.
Just the mention of J.J. Redick gets Tunis on the mouse call. All right. All right. McGinnis mentions that the Sixers are off by 17, excuse me. And they're rocking. And the building's rocking. Rockets, of course, make a push.
Harden with a down low. Harden with a down low right against Corey Brewer. A one-time teammate backing with a left hand. Turns, tries to draw the foul. Flips it up and in. Harden gets the ball down the near sideline. The Rockets with it going left to right. 2.5 to go. Leaning over the right-hand dribble. Drives by Brewer. Reach in. Foul. Harden gets it, and they're going to count the layup. Harden gets it. Drives by everybody and hammers it in. 8 straight by the reigning MVP, James Harden. Turn the corner. They spread the floor so much that if he gets space, look out. And Harden with 27.
That's 27 in the first half. And the Rockets get it to double single digits. And now Harden continues to go off until the man of the evening, Corey Brewer, gets in the Beard's head.
They go right to Harden against Corey Brewer. Jab step, step back three, long, no. Simmons tips it. Simmons bats it ahead, and Brewer's getting a slam. Corey Brewer gets the last laugh. Ha-ha! Puts it in. Two-hand jam. And now Brewer and Harden shoving one another, and we get a foul. No, it's on Harden, and the crowd loves it. And James Harden is stirring up here in Philadelphia, baby. He might have picked the wrong city. Corey Brewer with a jab. He hangs on the rim. When he comes back, he immediately picks up Harden. And he's right into him, and Harden shoves him. And Corey Brewer bent down underneath him, and finally Harden reacts and pushes him out of the way. And that's now the third foul on Harden.
How about T-Mac laughing? He went, take that, Harden. And now, how about this? Harden's fuming, right? He's turning red, rocket red. And he tries to make an impact to close out the first half. But he is denied.
They go to Embiid, which is a pretty good option. Off to Redick. J.J. dribbles. And he bat-headed it lost. And he turns it over. Harden with the ball. 8 seconds to go. Harden sidesteps the man. And Embiid blocks his shot. Joel Embiid. Oh, and he talks a little trash. Here come the Sixers. 2 seconds. Redick to Brewer. Will he get it off? Yes. Will it go? No. Wow, a roar here in Philadelphia. And Mike D'Antoni is all over Leroy Richardson, stomping mad here in the half. Harden had a word with him as well. Embiid, you can tell on the run out, he was marking Harden, tracking him.
Wow, swat, swat. JoJo. Swat, swat. Harden. That was awesome. And again, continued as Embiid continued to dominate. How about this second half now? Going right back at it.
And now it's Harden guarding Embiid. Joel wants him one-on-one. Backing down. Harden's got 3 fouls. Bangs into him. Joel turns into a double team. Puts it up good. And a foul on Houston. And Joel Embiid picking up right where he left off.
All right, it continues. The Sixers start to go on a nice run. Here's Ben get involved.
Simmons throws it away, trying to go to Embiid. He slipped, and it goes to Tucker. But Ben steals it right back and drives on Harden into the lane. Around him, Harden with a foul, and Simmons will lay up. That's four on Harden. And Ben Simmons with a pick, a drive, and a foul.
All right. The man, though, was Corey Brewer. He finished with 11 points in 33 minutes. He was a plus, get this, 28 for the Sixers, including this bucket right here.
Sixers go to Brewer. Brewer drives on Harden. Harden, ole, baby, had a back off. He didn't want his fifth foul, and his old teammate, Corey Brewer, cruises in with a layup. 77-52.
77-52 over the Rockets. Wow, Corey Brewer. Now, just when you thought maybe the Rockets would make another run in the third quarter, right? Landry Shamet keeps them at bay.
But here's Shamet for three, rising with the pass. And Landry Shamet with his second tray of the game. McConnell with a dish. Shamet with 11. Here's Shamet with another one, knocking out a three. His third three. Landry Shamet, multiple games with three or more threes. And he adds to that list tonight. Here's Shamet dribbling, driving, and getting it. He faked in the corner and kept it, showing some nice athleticism on the drive. Shamet with 18.
Shamet with 18. And he's raining threes. But this night, besides Corey Brewer and Shamet and the demolition of the Rockets, really was yet another showcase on how dominant the big man can be. Take a listen of this, because we're going to end the playback with Embiid's final points of the game. He finishes with 32, 14 rebounds.
TJ McConnell to Joe. Joe fakes, drives it in the lane, throws up an off-balance shot. Oh, man. He threw it up backward and then tapped in his own miss. That's incredible. To see a man of that size pull that off, it was like he was shooting on a Nerf hoop. Embiid now with 32.
How about it? Like he was shooting on a Nerf hoop. Joel Embiid. Andrew playing the song. We'll come back. Your phone calls ahead, 610-632-0975. Hey, don't you miss this? Come on, be real. I know you're frustrated.
I miss them winning.
Let it play, Andrew.
Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, welcome back, 1251. Hanging out on a Monday, April the 6th. It's Easter week. It's Passover week right here across the Delaware Valley. I'm Anthony Gargano. Andrew Salchunas, the Chunas. That's us.
Hello.
Hanging with you. And a couple things. Let's go to Craig, and then I want to kind of reset this thing. We got a bunch of stuff that we got to talk about. Craig in Willingboro, you're 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, my brother?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say that was real entertaining listening to that throwback. And also, it was real entertaining to listen to the doctor. He's entertaining and educational with that. You learn a lot. And I'm in home care myself, so I'm taking care of the handicapped, elderly, and disabled only person really going into the house and everything. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I do what I can, you know, to keep everybody safe. I take all the precautions necessary. So that's what we got going on here.
Oh, bro, listen, Mick, God bless you. That's a wonderful thing you're doing. You're one of the heroes that are out there caring for others.
Yeah.
So you have our
26 years strong.
Man,
thank
God
you.
Bless you, brother.
Yeah, so I wanted to clear up a few things. Talk about, you know, Dr. Shock for a quick second and then talk about that, what you got, maybe other entertainment things we can do in sports. Dr. Shock, his relatives used to live down the street from me in Germantown. And what happened there, Dr. Shock, yeah, he played two movies every Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. You had Mad Theater and Horror Theater. So he was the intro. And he would go in between the movies and comment on the movies and do magic tricks while the movies went on. So they were actually four movies that he did play.
That's right. I thought so. Yeah. And I thought it was Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon was 1 o'clock was Mad Theater, and at 3 o'clock was Horror Theater. And he would show all those old movies, the Killer Shrews, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and stuff like that and everything. And he had his daughter on there, Bubbles. And Bubbles was his daughter that he put on there, and she got so famous from that, his little daughter.
Get out. And he was from Germantown?
Yeah, his family's from Germantown. Yeah, he'd asked another gentleman, I believe it was in, I think it was in Chicago or somewhere, he asked him if he could wear his makeup and dress up like him and get on TV for our regional area and everything. So I watched him all the time.
That's cool, yeah, so man. Dr. Shock.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah, good old Dr. Shock. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you were good
clear.
On that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember, like, hey, you know, when something's hazy, it was a bit hazy to me. Yeah, now that you say it, all came back. That's cool, man.
Yeah, he'd have guest people on there and everything. They even had a tribute for him on TV when he passed away for the local stuff, you know, on Channel 17, like y'all were talking about. And it would always be in the TV guys and everything.
Did they have any sports guys on? Larry Bowe or somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Like local people like that would just come down into the theater, and, you know, where he shot it, and they would talk to him.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, but like you were talking about playing horse, and you said you're going to play horse. I think horse would be a great idea. And just like y'all said, you'd watch it because there was nothing else to watch. I think you could also do that with golf. You could have some top golfers or somebody, because golf doesn't require a whole lot. You just have the course. You have a few celebrities out there doing their thing with the golf. I think that works. What do you think about that?
I agree. Would you watch that? Like, would you want to watch? Like, they were talking about doing Brady and Mickelson against Peyton and Tiger. Would you watch that?
I would watch it. Like Tuna said, you watch it because it was there.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have
how about home run, like a home run derby?
Yeah, I would do a home run derby. Home run derby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and something like that. And I just want to say, well, tonight, since I'm at home and I'll be home, today is the 28th anniversary of Duke versus Michigan, the Fab Five, April 6th. So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be replaying that tonight, and that'll be my game to watch since I'm a Duke fan. And J.J. Redick is a rat. He's a rat.
Yeah, brother.
I agree.
It's awesome. Craig, great stuff, man. You're the man, baby.
All right, thank you, Craig.
See you, babe. Take it easy. That's awesome, man. This is cool, man. Look at this. So this is from the NFL Network.
This is the official Twitter account of the NFL.
Okay, so they did all decade teams. So I love this stuff. I can do this stuff all day. I'm such a loser. I love it. So this is the 2010s?
Yes.
All right, so imagine this. This is the 2010s offense. Brady's the quarterback with Rodgers as the second guy. Receivers, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones.
You happy so far?
Yes.
I am too.
Because Moss is more... that's beforehand. So it's
Brown. 2008 was that crazy year with him and Brady.
Brown, Fitzgerald, Megatron, Julio. I think that works. Gronk and Travis Kelce's the tight ends. Can you take a guess at one of the tackles, an Eagle?
One of the tackles
is an Eagle.
Well, it's either JP or Lane.
Jason Peters is your Eagle, along with Tyrod Smith, Joe Staley, Joe Thomas. The guards, Philadelphia's own, Yari Evans, Logan Mankin, Zach Martin, Marshall Yanda. Centers, Alex Mack, Pouncey from the Steelers. While your running backs, look at this. Dude, how, here's your backs for the 2010s. Adrian Peterson is your starter, followed by Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, and Shady.
Wow. Yeah, it makes sense.
He should be on that.
Because some of these guys that are really taking the league by storm right now, I mean, they're too young, right? It's only been like a year or two for them.
I agree, Marshawn Lynch. I agree, Shady. As much as I hate Adrian Peterson, I agree with that. And Frank Gore, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Gore has put together actually an incredible career.
I know. He's still at it.
I just don't like him because what he did to Philly.
The flex they have, how about this? Darren Sproles. So three Eagles on the offense. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Now, are you going Darren Sproles more Eagle or Saint?
Well, yeah, he's more of a Saint, but, you know. Now, would they now defensively, could they have any Eagles defensively? I can only think of one that has a shot.
I can only think of one, too.
Right?
And he's on that line.
Fletcher Cox is the only one I can think of.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.